Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Atabhishtuta Evam Vai. Sankalpena Satsankalpena Dimata. Vidyanurakto Bhagavan. Pratinan Yedam Abravit. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj, who had good intention in his heart, finished his prayer, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God, who is very kind to his devotees and servants, congratulated him, speaking as follows. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, greeting from Govardhan. I'm sitting in my place in Govardhan. I'm facing Govardhan Hill. I think it's not more than 25, 30 yards from my... And I can't even express in words how wonderful it is to be here. That spiritual energy, it's reality. It's not just in your mind. It's something that you're actually seeing, you're feeling. You have the expression that, you know, you can cut it, it's as thick as butter. And there's great association here. Vaisheshika Prabhu and Keshu Bharti and others are here. And, you know, just the Vaishnavas taking prasadam together, all, young, old, and, you know, and no one takes until everybody has, and the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And this morning going half around the Govinda side early in the morning. And it's a reality. It's a reality that can't just be seen with our senses. The example I give is like a dog whistle. There's a sound in the air, but you can't hear it. So there's a vision in the air, there's a sound in the air, there's smells in the air. There's the spiritual world here in the air, but you just can't see it from an analytical standpoint. You have to come in the right consciousness. And then something is revealed to you that's quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. I wasn't able to get out here at the beginning of Kartik. We had 42 people from Raghunath's group. And number one, very gentle guy. He's a businessman from New York. Some of you may know him. His name is Joe Cherini. He was so ecstatic. And as he was leaving, he said, "I got it. I got it. I got it." And what did he got? Somehow or other, by guidance and coming here in the Dham, he saw it. He saw that beyond any plastic bags, beyond any sewage, beyond any cars, beyond whatever. I mean, although most of Vrindavan, 90% of Vrindavan is still forest. We just happen to live in the crowded part. But if you're there, he got it. There's a thin veil. It's a very thin veil. And by the process of chanting and hearing and being in the mood of servant to the servant, being in the right consciousness, that veil is lifted. And out here in Govardhan, I feel, you know, okay, I got electricity, it's a simple place. But you got more of the sense of the 500 years ago living as a sadhu. So that's what I'll share with you. And this is Maitreya to Vidura. Remember, Vidura met Uddhava and began to inquire about him, but Uddhava was reluctant to speak any further to Vidura because Maitreya Muni was nearby and more learned, and there's an etiquette of respect. There's a profound etiquette of respect. Because respect is the consciousness that connects you to mercy. Respect goes upwards, mercy goes down. So there's a profound, profound culture of respect. Uddhava is so learned, he's so advanced, but someone more learned was there and he wouldn't speak further. So Vidura is now being enlightened by the great sage Maitreya and telling this story of Dhruva Maharaj, who's now gotten that Sakshat Darshan and who had good intention. Sat Sankalpena. Sankalpa is like a vow. Sat Sankalpena. He had good vow, good intentions. And really, that's what bhakti is. Of course, initially his intentions were mixed with material desire, but ultimately he had good intentions. And what's good intentions? Good intentions is the mood of selflessness and service, not selfishness. Of course, we can fulfill our desires connected to a selfless aim. Like we have to be healthy to serve Krishna. We have to be integrated or happy to serve Krishna. You must have certain desires fulfilled to be peaceful. That's okay, but it's connected. But he had the good intentions. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. That's the essence of bhakti. The essence of bhakti is anukulyena, favorable. It means you want to please. That's good intentions. And as Prabhupada say, Krishna is responsive. Krishnanu Shilanam. The activities. Bhakti is best expressed with service, seva, which means loving responsiveness to the Lord through the mind, body, and words. So when you offer devotion to the Lord, when your heart is materialized in your actions, when your heart is materialized with your body, when your heart is materialized with your words, and therefore that concrete expression of love is felt by God, then God responds because he is Britya Anu Rakta. He is favorably disposed towards his devotees. He's kind towards his devotees. God has two qualities. He's kind and he's powerful. If he's not kind, he won't want to help you. And if he's not powerful, he can't help you. So God is both powerful and kind. And he moves to give us ourselves, because the greatest gift is ourselves, because we're part of God. And we're consciousness, and we're meant for love, and that love is pleasure. And that's the essence of God's internal potency. So the greatest gift that God can give is to give us ourselves. And that's what the transcendental pleasure emanating from the body of God does. It's like a magnet to draw out ourselves, which is our consciousness and our desire. It's anukulyena, Krishna anu shilanam. when you're favorably disposed to someone, when you want to please someone, then you follow their desire or fulfill their desire. And that's bhakti, the intention to fulfill the desire of Krishna. Anu means follow. Our activities follow Krishna. Why does one activities follow another person? Either because they're forced to or they want to. Bhakti is when you want your activities to follow the will of somebody else, to fulfill Krishna, to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Anu, Shilanam, those activities go to Krishna, and then Krishna responds. I love that Christian philosopher, when he was asked, is God as a person, he said, God is not less than a person. And a person means he responds. In-person means, even in psychology or social norm, impersonal means someone doesn't respond to love, doesn't respond to service. So God is not impersonal. Prabhupada said God does not have the defect of impersonality, and therefore he responds. And that's the whole essence of bhakti yoga. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam yenamam. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come to me. Loving responsiveness to God and God's loving responsiveness to us. And what's his loving response? It's his kindness. So he congratulates Dhruva on his level of bhakti. The personality of God had said, my dear Dhruva, son of the king, you've executed pious vows, and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, durapan, it's very difficult, very ambitious, I shall favor you with the fulfillment, all good fortune unto you. So Dhruva Maharaj is an example of Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Akama Sarva Karmova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Akama, no personal desires. Moksha Kama, desire for liberation. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. If there's forceful worship of Krishna, then he responds. Even though there was a motive, he practiced bhakti very intensely. It means he focused his consciousness on Krishna. And therefore, Krishna fulfills his desire. The Lord is so merciful to his devotee that he immediately said to Dhruva Maharaj, let there be all good fortune to you. The fact is that Dhruva Maharaj was very afraid in his mind. He had aspired after material benefit in discharging his devotional service, and this was hampering him from reaching the stage of love of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said, Bhogaishvaya Pasaktanam. Those who are addicted to material pleasure cannot be attracted to devotional service. That's 244. You don't have resolute determination because of desire for enjoyment and opulence. So they'll explain. It was true at heart, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom that would be far better than Brahmaloka. This was a natural desire for a Kshatriya. He was also only 5 years old. And in his childish way, he desired to have a kingdom greater than his father's, grandfather's, or great-grandfather's. His father, Uttanapada, was the son of Manu, and Manu was the son of Lord Brahma. Dhruva wanted to excel all these great family members. The Lord knew Dhruva Maharaj's childish ambition, but how it was possible But how is it possible to offer Dhruva a position more exalted than Lord Brahma? The Lord assured Dhruva Maharaj that Dhruva would be not bereft of the Lord's love. He encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires, and at the same time, he had the pure aspiration to be a great devotee. Generally, the Lord does not reward a pure devotee material opulence, even though he may desire it. But Dhruva Maharaj's case was different. Yeah, I always remember that tape, 1971. I was in the Brooklyn Temple. And they'd have all this media, but they were playing a tape on the lecture. And I mentioned this many times. Someone was repeating what Prabhupada said in the lecture. I don't know who was lecturing, maybe Kirtananda. That Prabhupada said that if all his devotees become Krishna conscious, we can take over the world in 18 days. That's the level of the length of the Bhagavad Gita. And that, in fact, in our class today, we were reading something out. I was going to the satsang here, and I'm reading the third canto, and there was some nice verse where Krishna, you know, where the purport was explaining how the intentions of a devotee will be fulfilled. So Prabhupada said that, and at that time I thought, or maybe reflecting later, if you're not pure, then why would Krishna give the devotee the world? It would only make them more in the consciousness of enjoyer. They'd become carried away. And in fact, that happened at the beginning of the movement when very young people got incredible power. They became gurus of so many people with such high worship and so much facility. I mean, unbelievable. All of a sudden, young people, 28, 29 years old, all of a sudden they have thousands of disciples and they're being worshipped like God. And, you know, at the time, maybe I was thinking, wow, maybe one day maybe I could be that way or something. But it wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. Because it brought most of them away from Krishna consciousness. That's why one of the things that's against bhakti, one of the six things against bhakti is atyahara. Atyahara means too much over-collecting. Because when we get more, the tendency is to increase our attachments. And therefore, we're at the same level of unhappiness when we had less. Because the unhappiness is my desires are not fulfilled. Now, you've got some of your desires fulfilled, but they've also increased. And therefore, satisfaction is santosh. I had enough. A person is satisfied is whatever he has, it's enough. Yeah, of course, the basic needs. But very simple people, if they eat, they have a house over their head, they're satisfied if they say, I have enough. Eric Fromm, the great sociologist, German sociologist, he said, more important than freedom to is freedom from. And freedom from, the whole modern society is increasing our desires, increasing our needs. We can't live simple anymore. Every poor person has to have an iPhone. It's like a basic necessity. So, you know, and then it just never stops. So generally, when God's merciful to the devotee, he takes away. And I make this point very often. The objective to be happy by enjoying the world, by controlling it, to satisfy your desires is a losing cause because we're not the controller. So sometimes God takes away a lot. And if you have any spiritual acumen, then you take shelter of your soul, which you have access to at every moment by service. But somehow or other, it's going to be explained that Dhruva Maharaj's case was different. The Lord knew that he was such a great devotee, in spite of having material opulence, he would never be deviated from love of Godhead. This example illustrates that a highly qualified devotee can have the facility of material enjoyment, at the same time execute love of God. This was a special case for Dhruva Maharaj. But generally, when you're surrounded by things, it creates material conception. Enough. I have enough. I'm satisfied. I was thinking myself in Vrindavan when, after 20 years, I didn't have a place to stay, and I was thinking maybe I'd get an MBT flat, maybe I'd get this. I didn't have money. The desires itself was the anxiety. And after a short while, just thinking it just over my head for just a short while, I came. Wherever I stay, it's enough. I'm satisfied. Whatever Krishna gives, I'm satisfied. It's enough. So somehow Dhruva Maharaj was very qualified, and he couldn't be deviated, because even one of the symptoms of Anishita Bhakti is bhakti itself. Because with bhakti comes followers and things, and if you're not careful, you become attached to them. I told that story at my Vyas Puja of this one guru who got carried away and was buying these big castles in Europe. And his godbrothers were worried about him because the seats were so high, they were practically above anybody's head. So they went to one learned scholar in Vrindavan and said, such and such is attached to the seat. Will he fall down? And he said he's already fallen. The Supreme Personality of God continued, my dear Dhruva, I shall award you the glowing planet known as the Pole Star, which will continue to exist after the dissolution at the end of the millennium. No one has ever ruled this planet, which is surrounded by all solar systems, planets, and stars. All the luminaries in the sky circumambulate this planet just as bulls tread around a central pole for the purpose of crushing grains. Keeping the pole star in their to their right, all the stars inhabited by the great sages like Dharma, Agni, Kashyapa, and Shukra circulate in this planet, which continues to exist after the dissolution of all others. I guess Krishna really appreciated Dhruva Maharaj's determination. Although the pole star existed before its occupation by Dhruva Maharaj, it had no predominating deity. Dhruva Loka, our pole star, is the center for all stars and solar system. For all of them circle around Dhruva Loka just as a bull crushes grains by walking around and around a central pole. Dhruva wanted the best of all planets, and although it was a childish prayer, the Lord satisfied his demand. A small child may demand something from his father, which his father has never given to anyone else, yet about out of affection, the father offers it to the child. Similarly, the unique planet, Dhruva Loka, was offered to Maharaj Dhruva. The specific significance of this planet is that until the entire universe is annihilated, this planet will remain, even during the devastation which takes place during the night of Lord Brahma. There are two kinds of dissolution, one during the night of Lord Brahma and one at the end of Lord Brahma's life. So one day of Lord Brahma is 100 yuga cycles, or 100 times 4,320,000 years. And 100 of those make his night. So there's a dissolution at the end of his day, and the Dhruva star is not affected, and then there's dissolution. And then when there's that dissolution, the aggregate false ego, the living entities and their misconceptions, they enter into the body of Mahavishnu, and when he exhales again, they come out. And Prabhupada said, to catch the truth. The whole world is about catching the truth. And what is the truth? That there's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're meant for his service. And everything is functioning to give us that concept, which gives us liberation, because it's ignorance of that truth that attaches us to the material body and causes us to suffer. So this planet somehow lasts. At the end of Brahma's life, selected personalities go back home, back to Godhead. Dhruva is one of them. The Lord assured Dhruva that he would exist beyond the partial dissolution of the universe. Thus, at the end of the complete dissolution, Dhruva Maharaj would go directly to Vaikuntha Loka, to the spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in this connection that Dhruva Loka is one of the lokas like Swetadweep, Mathura, and Dwarka. They are all eternal places in the kingdom of God, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadama Paramam. And in the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Siddhata. The word Parastat Kalpa Vasinam, transcendental to the planets inhabited after the dissolution, refer to the Vaikuntha planets. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj's promotion to the Vaikuntha Lokas was guaranteed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I guess he got some dispensation because he was such a young boy. And he was a Kshatriya. So his childish desires and his warrior spirit were overlooked as natural. And his offering of service was very much accepted. Prastite tuvanam pitra katvagam dharma shamsaya satim shagvarsha sahasram rakshitaya hitendya. After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of his kingdom, you will rule continuously the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old. When you get old, the senses become weak. I know for myself, I barely can hear now. I think I should get a hearing aid. I really barely can hear. I think so. My eyes are getting weak. So the senses become weak, but he gets this benediction. In Satyuga, people live for 100,000 years. Dhruva Maharaj's ruling the world for 36,000 years was quite possible in those days. Yes, Satya Yuga, people lived longer. The symptom of Kali Yuga is Pienalpa, that your life becomes shorter. So the Lord continued, sometime in the future, your brother Uttam will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother, Saruchi, maddened upon the death of her son, will go search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. Purport, Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who is not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnav. An offense at the lotus feet of Vaishnav is the greatest offense in this world. We have to be so careful not to do sadhu ninda, to offend the Vaishnavas. Because Krishna is a person, and he loves, he has relationships, and he reciprocates with those people who fully surrendered to him. With your heart, that's just, it's so natural. Relationship is natural. There are natural relationships, and the eternal relationship is with God. And it's very intense once it's awakened. And, the example I gave is I was out there in the gardens of Vrindavan and a calf was born. and I never saw this before, and the calf was so big when it came out, you know, its legs were like flat on the ground, and it somehow stood up, started looking to the milk bag of the mother, and the mother was just intensely licking and cleaning the calf. So there wasn't a intellectual conception there. You know, I have this relationship, I should have. It was natural. And that's what perfectional state is. It's natural love. When you become free from ignorance and you realize reality, the ultimate goal is you'll feel reality. And the feeling of reality, the Piyojan, is called prema. So you'll feel reality. Rasa Vaisaha, that ultimate reality is love. And love is a two-way street. And those who feel reality and feel love from reality and feel love for reality, there's an intense relationship. And therefore, if you offend someone who God has that relationship with, it's the greatest offense. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Shruti became mad upon the death of her son and would enter a forest fire unless her life would be ended. So there's result of offenses. I mean, I've seen Vaishnava Aparad in Mayapur off to the Asasan when there were 11 gurus, and some of them were making fun of Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, because some people went over to him. And when I heard them mocking him, I left the temple, but I felt, I felt something beyond those words. And then after that, the temple was attacked and the Krishna deity left. So it's real, and you have to be very, very careful. And here's the example. Suruchi would become mad upon the death of his son and went into a forest fire because her life would end it. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva Maharaj because he was determined for revenge against her. From this we should take the lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnav. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnav, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Akrura went to Vrindavan and he was getting this mercy, And he was thinking, what piety did I perform? And the commentaries say the greatest piety is not harming anyone. And words harm, words can kill. So she would never insult anyone. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava. So her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of God. One time they said to Prabhupada, you're a great Vaishnava. He said, no, Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing. In his humility, the Vaishnava, one who really has love for Krishna and is completely surrendered to Krishna, Sri Krishna Karshani, and controls Krishna. So you have to be very careful. And if we offend someone and later they become a Vaishnava, we'll get the offense for offending the Vaishnava. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayers to the spiritual master, is sung, Yasya Prasada Bhagava Prasada. By pleasing the spiritual master as a pure Vaishnav, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going. So there's the mad elephant offense and the mad lion offense. The mad elephant offense is offending a Vaishnava, but even more, offending one's guru. The Lord continued, I am the heart of all sacrifices. You will be able to form many great sacrifices and also give great charities. In this way, you will be able to enjoy the blessings of material happiness in this life. At the same time, at your death, you will be able to remember me. The most important factor in this verse is the Lord's instruction regarding how to remember the Supreme Personality of God at the end of life. Ante Narayana Smriti, the result of whatever we do in executing spiritual activities is successful if we can remember Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's one, the main principle is to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Dharma Sunishti Tapunsa, Viviksena Katasha Nopadiye, Yati Ritam Shabani. Even if you do your Dharma expertly, but it does not lead to this kind of remembrance of Krishna, then trama eva hi kevalam. Thus, at the time of death, he would remember the Lord, and before his death, he would enjoy this world, not by sense gratification, but by performing great sacrifice. So he wasn't just enjoying wantedly, without purpose, but he was offering sacrifice, and as a result of the sacrifice, which was his religious duty, naturally, prosperity would come. As stated in the Vedas, when one performs great sacrifice, he must give charity, not only to the Brahmins, but also to the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. It is assured here that Dhruva Maharaj would be able to perform such activities. In this age of Kali, however, the great sacrifice is the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. A Krishna consciousness movement is designed to teach people and to learn ourselves the exact instruction of the Personality of Godhead. In this way, we shall continuously perform the Sankirtan Yajna and continuously chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And at the end of our lives, we will certainly be able to remember Krishna and our program of life will be successful. In this age, distribution of prasad has replaced distribution of money. No one has sufficient money to distribute, but if we distribute Krishna prasad as far as possible, this is more valuable than the distribution of money. So I'm going to stop here today because it's Kartik and I just moved to Govardhan and trying to finish my vrata. So it may take me time to get some momentum. Would anybody like to ask a question? Okay, would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, well, Gail, thank you. Anybody else?
I just have a question. But you were saying that even though Dhruva Maharaj was not just Vaishnava,
I didn't understand you. Even though he what?
Even though he was not yet a Vaishnav when his stepmother insulted him, still she got the...
That's a fact. But the fact is he was a Vaishnav. Dhruva was a Vaishnav. He just was a Kshatriya and he was a child. So along with his love of Godhead, it was mixed with his desires.
Okay.
Also, thank you.
I just wanted to confirm that at the end of Brahma's life, the polar star Dhruva Loka is continues to exist, right?
I don't know. I think it said the opposite here with the polar star. Let me see what it said. I'll go back to it.
Planet, so why would it get absorbed?
Wait, the specifics said, let me read it. The Lord assured Dhruva that he would exist beyond the partial dissolution of the universe, thus at the end of the complete dissolution. Dhruva Maharaj would go directly to Vaikuntha Loka, to a spiritual planet, a spiritual world. But it's the same thing. It's right, because Mathura and Dvorka and all these places, they somehow eternally exist. But it did say here it would be a complete dissolution. So, anyway, I don't know the technical details, but it seems that Mathura, Dvorka, because it was comparing Dhruva Loka to that, they are all eternal places in the kingdom of God. So they're all eternal places in the kingdom of God. So somehow they exist beyond that. But I don't know if it's like Krishna who leaves the world, but it's eternal. But there's some Leela anyway. Okay, Gail, well, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank Anybody you, else like to say hello today? Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. We'll see you soon, I guess. Yeah. Is that all set yet? Did we kind of coordinate that yet? If not, send me an email and I'll do it this week. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here.
Thanks, Tota. Great. Anybody else from New Jersey?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kishori.
I'm Priya.
Kishori and Priya, great. Okay, Priya, so busy, you know, with Kartik Vrata and taking groups around that I haven't gotten to my mail, but I'll answer your question within a few days. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vrajaradhe.
Hi, Bo, Vrajaradhe. Okay, I'm going to end now because I have to go. Vanchukopa Chubhya Sukhid.